Welcome to today's episode. We have a special guest with us, Mr. Farouk from Revere Advertising. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Rudy. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, man, excited to have you here and your neighbor and a local here in Puerto Rico. Is always fun when we can actually meet in person, but I'm excited to have you on the show. I've actually wanted to have you on the show for a couple of years. We met a couple of years ago here randomly in Puerto Rico, and I was like, I got to get you on the show because you've been in the game of marketing, sales, advertising, working with some pretty big names for over 20 years. In fact, you've worked with some names like Deepak Chopra, Oprah Winfrey, Wayne Dyer. You've worked with Amazon, the small little company named Amazon, and Barry and Blue, who run Sage Productions, which is a pretty well-known company in the live event space, virtual event space. And you and your agency have accounted for over $350 million in paid advertising and have driven with your clients over $1 billion with a B in sales in the last 20 years. So some pretty impressive results, man. And I'm really excited to hear your best practices, the things that you've learned from that experience.
Yeah, I'd love to share. I'm excited.
Yeah, on our podcast, one of the things we'd love to do is just jump right into some of the meat and the potatoes of the number one problem that people deal with when it comes to leading a profitable, impactful event is, hey, how do I fill my event? How do we get butts in seats? And you are the master of this. So I want to zip my mouth and just hand it over to you. I'd love to hear what you've learned over the years when it's come to leading or filling the live events.
Yeah. So I'm going to preface this by saying I'm a little biased. After doing 20 years of advertising, digital advertising, from SEO, social, affiliate marketing, paid all of these different mediums and channels of advertising, I love paid. Paid advertising is one of my favorites for any kind, whether it's e-commerce or selling a digital product and or filling a live event. And this was really exciting because when COVID happened, there were so many companies and clients that we were working with, and they're like, what do we do now? What do we do? And they're like, literally, I remember Barry and Blue, they were in Puerto Rico in my house. And like 3 days later, they had an event and everything was getting shut down. And all their events, they were just getting calls after calls and like everything's getting shut down. And they're like, okay, what do we do to fill the event? Same question that you just asked. And a lot of times people might not have a list. It's easy to just send an email and get some kind of predictable elements of getting so many signups and so on and so forth. But what if that's not enough? Or what if you don't have a list? I think my go-to-market strategy has always been money in, money out, be able to scale or dial things down based on performance. And the only channel that gives that level of complete control is paid advertising. So that's what I love to do. And we can dive down as much as you want into paid because I've been doing it for over 20 years and I can geek out on numbers and how to think about it from a paid standpoint. How do you think about like, okay, how much should I spend? Or is this, which should I go Facebook or should I go Google or whatever? There's so much out there. Or TikTok if you want to dance, but I don't like to dance. Well, I don't like to dance on camera. I like to dance in real life, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's a big world. You're absolutely right. There's so many different, one, when it comes to marketing and filling, so many strategies. And even within the strategy of paid, there's all, like you just mentioned, there's several sub-strategies inside of that. And you've been versed in several of these. Like, where do we start? Is like the question. And maybe it's best to go to some of the fundamental principles that you abide by when it comes to paid media and filling live events. I think that would be a good place for us to start. What are some of those fundamental principles that you go by?
Yeah, so there's two parts of this equation. One is the actual paid ads, picking the platform, creating the strategy. And the key part in all of this is reverse engineering for me. So we have to, before we even spend any kind of dollar, is like plan this out. Like, okay, if I have an email list, let's just take a hypothetical example. Let's just pretend we want 1,000 people on a virtual event that you're doing or a live event. And you have a pretty decent size email list of 50,000 and you can send them and fill it. In the past, you've done that successfully. And you're like, okay, I can get 600 or 700 people easily from my list, but there's a gap of 300. So now you know a number, whether you have a list or don't have it, you have a definitive number that you need in order to make this event successful. So if 300 people show up, then, okay, how many people will stay? How many people will buy your high ticket offer? You would have some kind of idea if you've done it in the past. If you don't, you'll have to go with industry standards. What is the conversion rate on a $15,000 offer if you sell it at a live or virtual event and so on and so forth? So the fundamental on the paid aspect of things is just put it down in numbers. And I actually have a calculator that we actually use in order to fill these numbers, like how many people do you want at the event? What is your ticket price, whether it's virtual or physical? How many people will actually show up to the event? Because you know you're going to have a drop in show up rate. And how many people will stay till the offer? And what is the percentage of people will buy? And what is the price of the offer? These are some basic fundamental pieces that once you put it out there, you'll have a great idea of what you need to spend in order to acquire that customer and what your ultimate return on advertising spend, your ROAS essentially, how much money you put in, you put a dollar in, you got $2 out, you just doubled your money. You would do that all day long. So if you can do that methodically and through calculations, then that gives you at least a peace of mind that this is a viable channel. And if this is going well, then these are the numbers. If this is not going well, I have to pivot a little bit or kill it. Like that's your fundamental piece of it. The second, I think, Rudy, you're aware of this. We've talked about how important our thoughts and words are. It's like the messaging aspect of things. And funny enough, like as I was thinking through what we would possibly talk about, I don't know if you've ever seen this book.
Breakthrough Advertising.
Breakthrough Advertising. This is like, I literally went on Amazon before to see because the prices fluctuate. It's $500 for this book. It's crazy pain. But don't buy it. But my good friend and mentor, Ryan Kurtz, owns the rights to this book. And if you go to the website itself, you could get it for a lot cheaper. But this has the fundamental kind of component to understand the five stages of advertising. And this is really important in the messaging side of things. So the five stages of advertising is like, is a prospect unaware. So this is based on different parts. Like what are you doing a virtual event or a live event on? Is it like dog training? Or is it how to do certain things that people might be aware that's even a problem or not a problem? So once you understand the awareness stage of it, you could kind of determine which is the channel. So the second fundamental piece of this is going into the type of platform that you're going to take your media dollars and put it into. And here's what I mean by that. If you think about Google, how do people use Google? It's like, I want, I don't know, some beef jerky sticks. That's my fun little snack. I know I want this and that's a desire. Am I problem aware? Like I'm hungry. Yeah. Okay, cool. So I'm going to go and type in Google like organic beef sticks. And essentially what might come up is the result. So it's an intent-based platform. I have an intent. I go on Google, I type it in and I get the results back. Versus Facebook, I'm just hanging out, checking out my buddy, what they're doing, what they're up to, and an ad pops up. That's an interrupt-based platform. So the fundamental piece of it is to understand these five stages of advertising because that will dictate the platform. So is the prospect unaware? Are they problem aware? Are they solution aware? Are they product aware? Or are they most aware? And this is a series of what every person goes from a psychological perspective when they want or buy something. So once we understand this, then we could say, just go on Google, just go on Facebook, go on both and so on and so forth. So those are two pieces I would say.
Okay, there's a lot in there, man. That is remarkable. The name of the book, Breakthrough Advertising, right? Where could people go find that for if they're not getting on Amazon?
Good question. I think it's breakthroughinadvertising.com. That's Brian Kurtz's size. Yeah, breakthroughadvertisingbook.com. And I believe he sells it only for like $100 some instead of 500. Oh, 190, 125 plus shipping.
Nice. So it's still a highly priced, highly valuable book. I've actually heard that book quoted by several reputable mentors and marketers. So I think success leaves clues, as Tony Robbins oftentimes says.
Yeah, I personally, Brian gave this copy to me for free like 8 years ago. And I wish when I started 20 years ago, I had this because that would have changed a lot of ways I would have approached advertising and strategy. So this is the must. It should be like marketing 101 for every like student in college to read, man. So it's definitely worth it.
Wow, right there. That's awesome, man. So a couple of things I'm hearing you say is you got to know your numbers. You got to build a predictable numbers-based advertising strategy. And you got to also have the messaging and the awareness of where your customer is at. So maybe could you potentially give us an example, maybe some of the clients you work with? For example, I know you work with Berry and Blue, and they're in turn helping other people with their events, et cetera. So what could you share with us maybe about example or case study of how you've applied what you're sharing with us to helping them fill their event, because they do an event.
Yeah, actually, it's a good one. I'm glad you asked that question, because there might be a lot of people in your audience that are just like having this anxiety around starting a virtual event or going to a live event, especially the live event component. There's so many costs associated with it. Like, you have to book a venue. But if you're doing a decent sized one, of course, got a hotel room block, the catering, and think that there's a lot of upfront costs associated with it. And so, fun example and story, as I was saying before, like literally Barry and Blue were in my living room. We were talking about marketing and strategy and all this fun stuff. Everything started going down. And guess what? They've done, as you might already be aware of, they do events. They did physical events, like multi-thousand people events for their clients. They were their event management company. And essentially, their entire model was physical. They had no virtual component to their business. So at the end of the day, this is their entire bread and butter, multi-seven-figure company doing this for other clients. And guess what? They've never done a virtual event or live event for their own products or services. So when this happened, we had to pivot. And we were like, okay, we're going to see, like, after a few months, we were seeing, like, all these people jumping on, like, doing things like in the sense of everything's virtual, people shopping online because they couldn't go out, they couldn't go to live events, or everything's getting canceled. So ultimately, they did this thing. It was like, it's pretty meta. They created a virtual event called the Virtual Event on Virtual Events. And these are the guys that, again, go like Tony Robbins events and like Matthew McConaughey to Allison Maslin to like a bunch of like big names in the industry. So in short, they were just like, okay, well, we've learned so much on the physical virtual events. Let's take that concept and apply to virtual. So they built this entire, initially, it was just like, let's just do Zoom. And it's very simple. Like, make sure you have a good microphone, a little bit of lighting, and at the end of the day, a Zoom account. And like, here's how you do this. So we ended up doing like a webinar to teach people how to do this, got them into a virtual event, then created this. Barry has this amazing framework of selling high tickets and how to structure your day one, day two, and day three in a strategic way where it plays on each other to get the consumer excited, engaged, coming back, and almost like running to the back of the room concept in a virtual environment so that they can buy their high ticket items. So we did the first event not knowing what it would be. It was a success from an ROI standpoint. And we basically, again, chose webinar as a modality to just say, hey, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're a coach, if you're a client, and you want to get out there, come check out our like little masterclass that we talk about these things. And that went in and sold a $67, I think it was $67 or $97 ticket to come to our virtual event or virtual events, which is a 3-day event. As simple as that. And then when they went on it, then there was a high ticket offer that was presented to get people more into that world and giving them exactly the framework they need in order to do an event really well. So I don't know if that helped or not, or were there any parts that you would want me to go deeper into?
Yeah, I think you gave a pretty good overview of like the strategy, the big picture of what they did. And yeah, it's kind of like the model of how to run events. And I know that's what they do. They're in the business of teaching people how to run events virtual.
Well, that happens post-COVID. That wasn't their model. Their model was just an event-based company. You come to them, you're like, I want to hold 1,000 people. They would manage the whole logistics and behind the scenes. Now they're coming into their coaching world post-COVID. So yeah, which is their entire another business model and unit that got created post-COVID, because a lot of people had that need and they were one of the best experts. And out of that, basically Tony Robbins, if you've ever seen that big screen with 12, 15,000 people, like this giant thing, they helped Tony's team entire create that entire mechanism and the technology behind all of that. So all of this came about from that one place of coaching people to do virtual events, in essence.
Awesome, man. Very cool. And as far as coming back to the filling part and the filling aspect, any specific things that you, because I know your agency ran or runs the marketing for them, the paid advertising, any specific things that you found has worked when it's come to filling virtual or in-person events? Obviously, make sure the numbers work, make sure the messaging works, but anything else inside of there that...
And yeah, it's been such a long journey. It's like 4 years. So there's a lot of things we've kind of started. And that's what I think the key part I forgot to mention in that process is they didn't even have their own list of people. So we had to start from scratch, right? We just had to start with spending a dollar and seeing what the lead and would they even come and show up to the webinar if they showed up, then what would they do? Would they buy the ticket or not? So we started in a little progressive manner. So you don't have to go all out. I guess that's one key part of this that I would like to mention. It's to start off with like saying, okay, I'm going to spend whatever is in comfort, no, 1,000, 5,000. What does that turn into and what's the show up rate? And what we've learned over time is some tips. Like at the end, people didn't know this existed. So they were unaware. That's why I'm talking about the stages of advertising where the consumer was. Like people might have thought they could even, they're used to going into in the beginning. So now things have shifted. So if you think about it back COVID time, virtual events, it was not. It was like not a thing, like not a multi thing where people could do it. It could be interactive and there could be little segments into it. And how do you engage the people? Like Barry and Blue, one of the key things they do is they send a swag box to anybody who buys it with like the little hearts and sticks and stuff. So when they are asking questions or anything like that, the person can raise their stick to show. And so they have a screen in the background where like everybody's like engaging and doing that. So how do you take the live element and put it into the virtual piece of it? So that's a learning over time. But ultimately, I kind of lost my train of thought where I was actually going with the question. So I'm going to retrace my steps for a second. But we were talking about like, hey, the stages of advertising. So when we started back in the COVID days, people weren't aware that a virtual event can even be done possible in a large environment and multiple people were doing it. So they were unaware of this even existing. So we had to go in and educate them. Now people have seen it enough. They know it's possible. They are like, okay, so there might be solution aware, but they might not be very familiar with like you actually have a product that solves the problem at the end of the day. So all in all to say where I'm going with this is things have shifted in terms of the consumer behavior and their awareness cycle so that we can now shift a little bit of platform. And so I would say still start with Facebook as a primary driver to give more specifics because that still works for pretty much, almost like at least 7 to 10 different large multi six figure spend launches to fill these events. And so with that said, primary of that budget goes on Facebook. I guess people in the Facebook world love this stuff. And it's been all over the place. It's not like how to do something. It's in all different verticals and niches. So Facebook, I think, is still the primary piece of it because most people are not searching like how to train your dog virtual event. They're not in there in that intent yet. So I think interrupt marketing still wins. You got to cue me a little bit on what was a question. I'm kind of losing my, because I can say so much. Everything's going in my head.
Yeah, you're brilliant, man. You have so much to share with us. Okay, we're kind of on the topic of specifically lessons learned when it comes to filming the events and specifically with Barry and Blue and what you learned with them, because that's a very specific niche. I know you're kind of going on that thread, but maybe one of the ways to like dig a little deeper is in the 5 years and what you've done specifically with advertising to fill live events, what do you say is like the most common mistake that maybe you've made or you've seen people make? So I think that tends to be very helpful to hear that.
Doing too much. When things started working for us, and I'm not speaking to Barry Blue case in particular, I know I worked with clients that have a lot of resources, a lot of ways, and a lot of different pieces. And here's what I mean. So I remember one of the events that we were filling, trying to fill up, the client really was insistent upon trying multiple avenues. And what I mean by that is like, let's do this 5-day challenge to get people all excited and then we can sell the ticket. Cool. Let's have this quiz as well. And let's have this webinar as well. And diversifying so much that you don't have data integrity in a short amount of time. Because when we think about live events, it's not something that we would do months and months ahead of time. It's typically, if you're really gunning for it, maybe 2 months is where you just kind of a little start, get some traction. But really, for a virtual event, you don't need that long. For a physical event, yeah, you need months to kind of plan so people can put it on their calendar to book a ticket and book a hotel, yada, yada. But a virtual event, the maximum impact that we've seen is like 2 weeks before a virtual event. If we start driving traffic aggressively, we could do like, it's usually a 3-week cycle for us. Like week one is like testing to see what messaging creatives are resonating. And the 2 weeks leading up to the event is where we drive majority of the signups, essentially, or ticket sales. So in that process, the biggest mistake you can do is trying to try too many things, not knowing what's working. And at the end of the day, like you don't have a way to scale that systematically and you lose money. So that's my biggest spiel is if you're doing paid advertising, which is the angle that I'm coming from, is focus on one methodology, make sure you master it, and then go into the next one for the next event. So like focus.
Yeah, so stay focused. Don't try to diversify too quickly, with too many marketing mechanisms. What would you say in your experience is for someone who's just having to choose one mechanism, what is working best right now as far as they drive traffic to a thing to sell tickets to your event?
It's again, I would go back to the, where are the consumer? What's their awareness cycle? If they're unaware of this problem, you have to educate. If you have to educate, then a challenge might be the best option. If they are like, oh, I have a problem, like at the end of the day, my sales are dropping and I need to do an event, live event or virtual event, doesn't matter. If they know that that's a problem, then you don't really need to go into this longer cycle. You could shorten the cycle by saying, just attend my webinar. So it's really where that person is in your market and where you're driving and how much scale you need. That's what dictates this. But webinar is still outperforming most of the other pieces for us.
Okay, so webinar is, for you, is what's been outperforming a lot of the other pieces.
Consistently, if I take the average, in some clients, it's challenges because it's just a much more intimate way for them to really get. It might be a little bit technical, so they get like those nuances, they get the tools, they get excited. So now they're coming to the live event to learn more. So it all depends. Yeah. If I take an average of everything, I would say 7 out of 10 times webinar outperforms in terms of actually telling tickets at a good return on investment.
Okay, so that's a good distinction to make for people. This is actually really, really important because people hear the word webinar, they hear the word challenge. I just want to define what that means here. So my understanding of a challenge is something that's normally over the course of several days. It could be 3 days, 5 days, 7 days.
What? Correct.
But like a module over the course of several days to get them to do something, mm-hmm. to get some kind of win or result with the idea of having them do something beyond that. Oftentimes challenges are like free or low cost with the goal right. of, okay, now you've completed the challenge, come to the event and do more, you know.
Yeah, we'll deep dive into this, yep.
Yeah, and then my understanding of a webinar is normally something that's like in the ballpark of 60 to maybe 90 minutes. That
a good webinar actually is where you're delivering, this is like some like Jason Flatland, who's done over, I don't know, hundreds of million dollars with webinar. He has a framework, which I love to follow, but his framework is essentially, you want to have content between 30 and 40 minutes, and then you go into the pitch, essentially. So you don't want like too long of a webinar in short. People don't have that much fan anymore. So I would even say like anywhere from where you're delivering content, you're delivering the trust, you're delivering the value in a webinar within 30 minutes to 40 minutes at the most. And then you go into the, hey, come to my virtual event or live event. Here's a ticket, buy now kind of deal and make it simple.
Okay. Yeah. So under an hour, deliver teaching or content, but not really necessarily having them do something right there. And then because you only have less than an hour and then you're exactly. inviting them to take the next step with you. Okay. Great. That's great. I appreciate you making that distinction here and sharing that all the data you've seen. So overall, webinars just seem to be the more effective thing to enroll someone into buying a ticket for a lot of that.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. What else do you say are maybe some of the common mistakes that have been made from a promotion or marketing perspective when it's come to filling events?
Other mistakes. Oh, yeah, this is a big one. Thank you for jogging my memory. I had to dig a little bit deeper. Is not really doing a good job with every stage of the overall channel and medium you're actually intending on. So let's just talk about webinar as a piece of the puzzle. So it's a lot of people will get lazy with their advertising and marketing efforts. But really, if you think about how busy we are and how much little bandwidth and how much all that we have, at the end of the day, let's just pretend somebody clicks on an ad and goes to your page. What is the opt-in conversion rate you should ideally have from somebody who clicked on an ad, went to a page and signed up for your webinar? Well, there are industry best practices, like for instance, on warm traffic or cold traffic is an average. So an average, let's just say, instead of me going dissecting too geeky into this, because I can do that, but let's just keep it simple for the audience. So let's just say an average in the industry is 15 to 20% is a good opt-in rate for a webinar. So that means like out of 100 people who clicked on your ad, 20 people will opt in. Well, that's like 80 people that just said, hey, this ad sounds cool. And they clicked on the ad and went to the opt-in page and did not do something. But they raised their hands, obviously, because they clicked on the ad. Something resonated. And a lot of people will not take the time to say, okay, Let's take the people and create an audience for people who landed on the opt-in page but did not opt in and show them an ad with a different angle to get them back into the whole funnel. So the biggest, second biggest mistake is not taking every single touch point and creating an audience and speaking to them in a different way to get them to push them over the ledge. So in the webinar world, people who went to the landing page and did not opt in, that's one piece of the puzzle. People who opted in but did not show up, because you're going to get maybe 30, 40% show up rates. That means 60% of them did not show up. Like, if they did not show up, did they not have time? Why did they not show up? Like, did we not have a good time? Did we pick a time at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time where they're still at work? Maybe they need another time slot. Or maybe they just need a condensed version of the webinar. Instead of saying 60-minute webinar, how do we take the highlights of it and give them a 20-minute video to watch instead? Like, think through the overall obstacles of the consumer, why they didn't do certain thing, and get the ad in front of them. So if they showed up and did not buy it, well, they stayed till the end because we have those data points. If they stayed like 35, 40 minutes or even 15 minutes, they saw the offer. It's just something. Either they got busy or they just need more testimonials. So testimonial is an avenue of an ad that can show to them like, hey, we got all of these successes from people who attended. You should come out too. So every stage of the consumer, again, if we understand the awareness, is we can push the trigger in each one of these with a remarketing ad. And a lot of people take the time to do that.
Wow, that's right there. I think you just took the meat off the bone with that one. You're like looking at every single step of the journey with the marketing, the advertising, and looking at, for everyone who dropped off, what can we do to bring them forward, bring them back, bring them over the line. And there's all sorts of things that can be done, digital marketing with audiences and cookies and all these sort of things that obviously an expert like you does on a daily basis. But for someone who maybe it's not their forte, that's why they have agencies. That's why you have your agency. They can come to you and you can help them figure out how to create the funnel, how to know their numbers, how to retarget people who are dropping off, and ultimately to scale using predictable numbers-based advertising strategy. I know that you created something super special for our audience today, specifically around helping them know their numbers, their return on their ad spend, and to calculate what they need to calculate to have a profitable event. Would you like to share a little bit about that with our audience?
Yeah. So Rudy reached out like a couple of days ago and I'm like, oh my God, this is my audience and this is the main challenge. And it was very high level. I'm like, well, if filling is the event and we're going to talk about advertising, geek out about paid, which is like my forte, why don't we share like my internal agency calculator that like you put in a few pieces of information, how many people you want, and a little bit of traffic. If you've done any kind of traffic, what's the cost per click under these parameters? It will do everything for you and just give you the raw numbers of saying, hey, you will get this kind of ROAS if you attend this. And then it also gives you like breaking points. Like if you are not achieving a 20% opt-in rate, you're only getting 10% and your cost per lead just went up by XYZ percent, then you should probably stop. And it just gives you this little calculator that goes into the red. I didn't get a chance to fully finish it, but it will be done. It's launching on June 15th for all you guys. But if you go onto the site called eventmarketingplanner.com, you have my email on there. You can email me. And just as a preface, just so I can only get a bunch of emails, we only work with clients. Our agency only works with clients that are at least spending $100,000 per month or more. So at the end, that's who we help as an audience. But for everything else, like if you're wanting the calculator, I'll put you on a list personally and I'll email it out to you.
Awesome, man. I appreciate that. And I think by the time this episode publishes, that should be live. So we'll include the link to that here with the show notes or somewhere on the audio recording. What was the name of, let's say the website one more time for us.
Eventmarketingplanner.com.
Perfect. Eventmarketingplanner.com. And through that free calculator, they'll be able to plug in their numbers and basically model the exact calculations that you guys do internally for your clients who are spending $100,000 or more a month in marketing ad spend to figure out how they can plan their next live event so it's profitable for them on the front end.
And just to preface this, just to piggyback on what Rudy's saying, is we actually do not spend a dollar unless we do media planning. And this is the planning element of doing spending any kind of dollar out there, any kind of advertising in theory, but this is more geared towards the paid aspect of things. So yes, that's what it's going to do for you.
Awesome, man. I'm excited to play with this thing. As we wrap up our interview here, any final words of advice to someone in our audience? Maybe perhaps it's their the first event or the first time they're considering running paid ads to fill their event, or maybe even hiring an agency like your own. Any advice you'd have for them?
Yeah, this is a little sore pot. It's a hard burner for me in some ways. There are a lot of people out there. They're everybody and their mother thinks they know ads. And unfortunately, I've carved out a niche and we only help certain people because of the bandwidth reasons. But I wish I can help everybody. So I think the key part of this is if your agency is or person you're helping or going down into this pathway, the key piece of information is make sure you are aware exactly what your return on advertising needs to be before with this calculator that I'm providing you, and give the person or somebody on your team, whoever is doing, or yourself, even if you're doing it, it's almost like having stocks. Like if you're buying stocks, you have what, you know, your stop losses. Like you need to know when you get out, like don't lose money. It's very easy also to lose money. And it's very easy to also make a lot of money with all of this advertising. And Facebook itself has a very good learning platform. We're talking about cookies and conversions, API and all this stuff. It literally guides you through videos and all of that stuff. So if you want to take like 3 hours on a weekend or whatever, you can actually learn how to do this yourself from a basic fundamental level and just get out there and do it. But make sure you know exactly your number so you know when to kill it or when it's really working to go take it off. So that's the thing, part of this game.
Know your numbers.
Know your numbers.
Thank you, brother.
All right, yeah. Man. It was a pleasure.
This has been a great interview, man. Appreciate you so much.
All right. Take care. Peace.